Chapter 25.
Listen, listen, I would take a whisper if that's all you had to give. But it isn't, is it? You could come and save me and try to chase it crazy right out of my head.
Such frequent exposure to John and his fighting style meant that Obi-Wan was getting particularly good at using the Force in their spars. He tossed John through the air towards a column. It helped that his friend weighed about as much as a large pillow. Of course, such frequent exposure to Obi-Wan meant that John's aerial maneuvers had also improved significantly. The flip and half-round off the Padawan executed against the column to send himself barreling back toward Obi-Wan was proof of that. Obi-Wan had to drop to the floor and roll into a shadow to avoid that flurry of strikes. Part of the challenge, and also the advantage, of incorporating shadow walking into a lightsaber duel was that, by nature, lightsabers were constantly creating shadows in new places. It meant that the simple action of attacking in a dimly lit environment created just as many opportunities for escape. The two of them shamelessly used that knowledge to their advantage. Their fight tonight was a particularly fierce one. Obi-Wan was still very new at Ceresu, and while Depa was a good teacher, he hadn't drastically shifted his style yet. But he had begun to incorporate some of the aspects of the form into his Ataru and occasional Makashi. It allowed him to take John off guard. They were evenly matched in the end. John did something exceedingly clever with a feinted shadow walk and flip that ended with him clinging to Obi-Wan's back and holding his saber close to his neck. "Sola," Obi-Wan sighed. John was laughing at him, he could just tell. Once he heard the hiss of John's lightsaber extinguishing, and his teeth stomped rattling from the strength of the multicrystal blade, Obi-Wan squirmed until John was resting at his front and he could see his friend's face. "Point to me," John said, smugly. Obi-Wan laughed and raised a hand to flick the center of John's forehead. "Yes," Obi-Wan said. "And winner gets the first choice of blankets and pillows, so get on with it and make your selection." John dropped to the ground and strode over to their piles of blankets and pillows. At this point, their favorite sal in the depths of the temple was practically a second home. They had water, non-perishable food and snacks, and an absolute mountain of soft things. It was nice to have a room that was just theirs. Obi-Wan felt safe here with John, as he struggled to feel anywhere else in the galaxy. So, because it was the way that Obi-Wan's life worked, something had to ruin it. "That won't be necessary, Padawans," came a voice over by the doorway. Immediately, Obi-Wan's heart was in his throat. He spun rapidly around, lightsaber in hand. In the same motion, he stepped backward toward John, shielding him with his body and blocking sight of him from the door. His adrenaline was high, and not in a fun way like it had been during their spar. Without his input, his mind threw him back to Melodon and being taken by surprise by the elders. How he'd put his body between them and the littles, tried to make himself bigger to keep them safe. John's hand on his back brought him back a bit. Obi-Wan could feel him, concern, fear, panic, but his friend at least had the good sense to stay behind him. It didn't help as much as it should to finally focus on the doorway and see none other than Master Koon and Master Windu standing there. They weren't elders, but they weren't necessarily safe either. Obi-Wan and John were breaking the rules, abusing their masters' trust, and they were surely going to be punished as a result. Master Koon was kind, and John had some degree of faith in Master Windu, but they'd never broken the rules so drastically before. Obi-Wan felt like he was going to throw up. He lowered his lightsaber, but didn't put it away entirely. John, thankfully, stayed tucked halfway behind him. The masters both had their hands visible and empty as they looked around the sal. It was clear by their expressions, they recognized that this was not a one-time occurrence. This room was cleaned, well-loved, and theirs to anyone who bothered to look. John's hand on Obi-Wan's back trembled. Master Koon looked back at them. "Peace, Padawans," Master Koon said. "We mean you no harm." Obi-Wan swallowed. He didn't say anything. Master Windu tried next. This would explain how you two became so good at fighting each other, he said, and this room certainly offers a lot of practice for shadow walking. John dropped his hand and instead shuffled almost his entire body against Obi-Wan's back. They still said nothing. Obi-Wan, at least, didn't know what he could say at this point. We won't punish you if you only walk us through what's going on here, Master Windu tried again. It's my fault, John said abruptly. He talked over Obi-Wan's instinctive protest. I wanted to explore the temple at night, and Obi-Wan was supervising me. One of Master Windu's eyebrows winged upward. Is that so? He said flatly. It was clear he didn't believe him. It's me that should be apologizing, Masters, Obi-Wan said quickly. I persuaded John to stay up to teach me some more of his esoteric force powers. John made an outraged sound, but by the way Master Kun tilted his head, it was clear his explanation wasn't believed either. Little one, we won't punish either of you for wanting to train, Master Kun said. We're only concerned that you did so after curfew and lost out on valuable sleep. Though perhaps you got some here, The Kaldor looked pointedly behind them at their pile of soft things. Master Windu nodded. You both have been more tired recently. I know that the upheaval of the past few weeks has been intense, but there's no need to hide your friendship in the night. You are both welcome to train together regularly. John snorted, very softly. Obi-Wan could feel the edges of his friend's panic, fear, frustration, and was tempted to stop him. We've been meeting every night for months, John said firmly. He moved a step forward, in front of Obi-Wan. That simply wasn't happening. Obi-Wan shifted to keep the younger Padawan mostly behind him. Neither of us was sleeping anyway. It was interesting how John's bravado would occasionally rise. In these moments, he was bold and unafraid. It seemed to only come so easily when John was feeling protective, and Obi-Wan ignored how the realization made his chest warm. Master Windu made a sound that Obi-Wan couldn't decipher. If it was nightmares, you know I said I was always available to listen, John. I'm happy to do anything to make you feel safe. John shook his head. His voice shook. I feel safe here, with Obi-Wan. I barely have any nightmares when we sleep next to each other. We train for a few hours and then sleep. Obi-Wan didn't want it to sound like John was the only one benefiting from this arrangement. The only time my sleep is truly restful is here, he said, with John. Master Kun and Master Windu both looked pained. I would be happy to guard your sleep, little one, Master Kun said. I know that our partnership is new, but... It's different, Obi-Wan said, already shaking his head. I know that I'm safe to sleep with John around. He protects me. There weren't words to describe the feeling that Obi-Wan had, curled close to his friend physically and in the Force. John was a part of him at this point, and in a way that had been growing for months, Obi-Wan always had a sense of him. He knew where he was and what he was feeling, and that he would protect Obi-Wan with whatever he had. In some ways, it triggered vague memories of the creche, where he'd sleep in piles of limbs with his friends. But even then, not quite. Those moments didn't carry the same deep surety Obi-Wan felt with John. Master Kun and Master Windu exchanged a loaded look. You're not being punished, Master Windu started, but it's time that you both see the Mind Healers. Clearly able to see something on their faces, he continued immediately. We wanted you both to be ready before we pushed the matter. However, if the two of you are having nightmares so frequently that you can only get rest here, on a cell floor, we can't wait any longer. For now, we want you both to get rest in a real bed, not on the ground, regardless of how well it's padded, Master Kun said. He must have seen their immediate instinct to protest, because he sent a wave of peace in their direction. Until we find a more sustainable solution, we will institute a policy of sleepovers, of course. Obi-Wan relaxed, just slightly. That didn't sound too bad. And absolutely no more sparring with your sabers on full power, Master Windu said sternly. There is no need to risk serious injury in the safety of the temple. Am I understood? Obi-Wan wanted to protest, but he knew it was foolish. He'd known it was foolish from the beginning in a way that John, new to the temple, may not have. But he'd chosen to be reckless, and if the masters weren't going to punish them seriously, he could concede this point at least. We'll deal with everything else tomorrow, Master Kun said. For now, it is time for Padawans to sleep. I'm happy to host you for the night, John. John nodded. Obi-Wan took his hand and led him out of the darkness of the lower temple. To be quite frank, those two children have more trauma individually than many of the knights I work with, healer Reza said. Z looked stressed in a way that Plo related to, truly. He adored his new Padawan, of course, and it was a privilege to teach him and help him heal. That didn't negate the fact that Plo could feel new wrinkles forming from stress, some of which he attributed solely to the fact that he wanted nothing less than to bundle Obi-Wan up in a blanket and give him a hug for a 10-day, but simply couldn't due to his Padawan's fear of adults. Plo had faith that they'd get there someday. We're well aware, Mace said dryly. The boys were in the waiting room. Healer Reza had asked to speak with Mace and Plo separately first before Z called them back in. Plo would be shocked if the Padawans hadn't found a method to eavesdrop on the conversation in some way, so he hoped Healer Reza was mindful of their word choice. Then, please, tell me why you waited so long to bring the two of them to the Mind Healers, Z asked, a veneer of pleasantry on Zir's features. Next to him, Mace winced. Plo felt fairly justified, himself, considering that Obi-Wan hadn't even been in his care for a month yet. John, on the other hand, John was extremely hesitant about almost every aspect of temple life, the healers in particular, although that likely should have been a red flag. At the start, he responded in single words to direct questions only. He has had so little control over every part of his life up until this point. I only thought to wait until he was ready before broaching the topic. For a long moment, Healer Reza said nothing, and then Z sighed. As a Kalaran, the air rushed not only out of Zir's mouth, but from Zir's skin itself. I still think you should have pushed sooner, Healer Reza said, but I do understand why you did not. Padawan Antilles is uniquely skittish. Zir's gaze turned to Plo. I have had custody of Padawan Kenobi for not yet a month. It has been a hard adjustment for him, and I was intending to bring it up to him soon, Plo said calmly. Healer Reza slumped in Zir's chair. I really wanted to express my righteous anger, but now I suppose I must give it to the Force, Z said glumly. Our apologies, Mace said. Plo could just barely hear a wisp of impatience in his friend's voice. But if you wouldn't mind telling us what is going on... Healer Reza straightened up. Yes, of course. To put it plainly, Padawan Kenobi and Padawan Antilles have formed a deeply codependent relationship. Not only do they primarily trust each other, but they have also... Z hesitated. They have also formed a force bond, a particularly strong one at that. Plo was glad his goggles and respirator hid his expression. He closed his eyes briefly. It was... not surprising, truthfully. There had been something in the way they sparred, something in the way they instinctually knew when the other was upset. He and Mace had both hoped that it was nothing more than a close friendship. But perhaps that was naive. Realistically, such a close relationship couldn't have formed in less than a year. They'd been deluding themselves at best. I see, Mace said heavily. What do you recommend? Z hesitated for a long moment. That is complicated. Padawans Kenobi and Antilles are not like other Jedi. Most cases of true codependency we see are between older Jedi who have been through some type of traumatic mission together. In those situations, the individual Jedi are at least aware that the relationship they have is unhealthy. They may be reluctant at first, but they know they have other supports to turn to in the temple. We don't usually recommend severing a force bond in any situation, because that tends to inflame the issue, and multiple bonds are healthy for force sensitives. But those Jedi... mind-healing sessions, of course, and a careful introduction of their previous support networks. Eventually, the two began to take separate missions. They tend to remain close, and some even become frequent mission partners, but the codependent aspect is... lessened. Plo already saw the problems that scenario presented for John and Obi-Wan. At this point, neither of them have other supports in the temple, Plo said heavily. Healer Reza winced. That is part of the problem, yes. When I said that their trust in each other is absolute, I did also mean that it is, exclusive to each other. Padawan Kenobi does have other connections, and a greater tendency to trust the beings of the Order. However, he hasn't seen his creshmates in almost a year. While he wants to trust you, he's not there yet. And Padawan Antilles is... Healer Reza hesitated. Isolated, Mace finished, Tone resigned. Plo was once again glad that his respirator and goggles hid his wince. Mace had been trying so hard to earn John's trust, and he'd made progress, for all that there had been semi-frequent steps backward. But John... Before the temple, he hadn't had a single trusted person in his life. In the greater scope of things, every time an adult didn't hurt him was a new experience. Depa had managed to wiggle closer, perhaps because of her age, but the rest of them... John seemed to trust them not to physically hurt him, most of the time. Before the situation had developed, Plo knew that he'd even been almost freely talking with Mace. But now... Yes, Healer Reza confirmed. That is part of the problem. If we cut Padawans, Antilles, and Kenobi off from each other, they would have no other support they trusted. And, quite frankly, considering the trauma that both children have gone through up until this point, the fact that anyone is able to make them feel safe is a positive. Plo had never once considered separating the two, for a reason he found quite obvious. They have already shown a willingness to run away together and could quite easily pull it off at any moment, Plo said. At Mace's questioning look, he simply reminded the other master, shadow walking. Both Mace and Healer Reza paled. Right, Healer Reza said weakly. I should have known that wasn't just temple rumors. You've said a great deal about what won't work for Jon and Obi-Wan, Mace said, but what would you recommend? Well, Z started slowly, I don't believe all of the typical treatments are incompatible. I absolutely believe both Padawans should attend regular and frequent mind healer sessions. Usually, I wouldn't assume this is doable, but since you are both on the council, finding some method to have Padawan Kenobi's other friends return to the temple would likely be beneficial. It's important that we establish networks for both of them, and it seems likely that given their close bond, Padawan Antilles might get along well with Padawan Kenobi's creshmates. Then Z paused. My last suggestion is unconventional and perhaps counterintuitive, but I would ask that you hear me out. Plo dipped his head. Please, continue. Padawans Kenobi and Antilles are stabilizing each other, for lack of a better word, Healer Reza said. They have improved each other's sleep quality and fostered an environment of safety. No matter what we decide in this room, they will continue to meet with each other and seek that safety. After what seemed to be a long, fortifying pause, Z continued in a rush, I propose we make that easier rather than more difficult. Mace frowned. I'm not sure what you're implying, Healer Reza. I believe that you four should consider relocating to a suite that all of you can share, Z said, voice tentative. Plo found himself truly surprised and couldn't find any response to give. Taking advantage of their shock, Healer Reza continued, the Padawans will continue to seek each other out, and if they feel like they have a safe shared space to do so and do not need to hide it, they will get more rest and spend more time with us, incidentally, Plo finished. What you suggest is certainly unorthodox, Healer Reza. Plo reflected on it briefly. It wouldn't be a hardship to share a suite with his friend, and he quite adored John. But it was certainly a departure from the traditional one master to one Padawan model in its implications. Rather than raising Obi-Wan and John separately, they would be raising them together, in effect. It would certainly cut down on nighttime adventures and ensure that both of them could be around their Padawans rather than alternating. We will consider it, Mace said, and will certainly sign up both Padawans for regular mind-healing appointments in the meantime. Healer Reza dipped her head. Yes, please do so, Z said. I look forward to your decision. End of chapter 25.